The reading is on page 1177 of the Bibles in the Seats. It's taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Page 1177, Ephesians, chapter 6. The armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This is the word of the Lord.
So much, Simon. That's great. Should we just have a moment of prayer? Lord God, as we look at this passage again about wearing spiritual armour, would you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to comprehend, and hearts to respond to what you'd have us do this morning. Amen. Many of you will know that my husband, Robin, works for the Met Police. And one of the areas that he has responsibility for is the Crime Museum. Unfortunately, the Crime Museum, which houses a whole host of exhibits, is not open to the public. It's used solely as a means to train detectives and forensic scientists in the variety of techniques and approaches to solve crime. New techniques are constantly being discovered to help in solving crime, and these techniques have come a long way since the advent of fingerprints as evidence from crime scenes. I was fascinated to read recently that a student at Dundee University used their dissertation to find more ways of using crime scene footprints. Not only did the research track footprints in terms of identifying shoe size or the pattern on the bottom of the sole, but through further analysis, it could determine whether the person was running or walking. This got me thinking about the impressions I make on other people when it comes to being a Christian. Is the way that I walk distinctive of being a Christian? Indeed, what might that distinctiveness be? What might those footsteps look like? I don't know about you, but I wonder whether that's something that we can all wonder about. What are the marks of living life that has Jesus at the centre? Well, the passage Simon read for us this morning gives us some helpful ideas. And if you haven't left the Bible open, then maybe you'd just like to turn to page 1777. 1177. So I deliberately checked that, but actually it shows that you're awake, which is awesome, that you're listening. Listen on. Excellent. So we're currently in a series of talks about the armour of God. And over the remaining 4 weeks of this series, we'll become very familiar with these verses because we're basically going to be reading them time and time again, adding in the next bit of the armour of God. Now, these verses are the conclusion of a letter to the church in Ephesus, thought to have been written towards the end of the first century. Whilst there isn't time to give the full detail of why this letter was thought to be written, if I tell you that Ephesus, although had heard and responded to Paul's proclamation of the gospel, it was also the centre of idolatrous worship. So you can probably see that it was likely sent to encourage the church to maintain their identity in Christ by living lives that reflected Jesus. And these final verses call the church in Ephesus to be strong, not in their own strength, but in the strength of the Lord, against opposition faced from other gods. In other words, to make a stand. Now you'll see in verses 13 and 14, the word stand is repeated three more times. The passage tells the Ephesians that the armour will help them take their stand. In verse 11, against the devil's schemes. And then in verse 13, to stand your ground. And then having done everything, to stand. And then in verse 14, this standing is drawn to a conclusion. Stand firm then. Now, whilst the armour will help them take their stand, what do we need to stand? Any ideas? Feet? Okay. Yes. Now, I know that's an oversimplification, but the ability to stand rests on your feet. Now, do you know just how amazing your feet are? Each foot has 26 bones, 33 joints, more than 100 tendons, muscles and ligaments, and a whopping 250,000 sweat glands. Now, having clothing to protect all that is obviously really important. And is it any wonder that reference is made to a person's feet in verse 15 then, being fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? We've seen already that our feet need to be able to stand firm so that we can stand our ground and take our stand against the devil's schemes. And this is where the imagery used in the armour is really helpful. As a Roman soldier wore heavy-soled, and they were very heavy-soled and studded footwear that gave him firmness and stability on the terrain, but also making them ready and able to move quickly and safely. But what do we need to be ready for? To run as fast as we can, like Usain Bolt and others yesterday evening? No. To lash out and use our feet to defend ourselves? No. To walk in the opposite direction? Absolutely no. We are told to be ready to spring into action with the good news of peace. Springing into action with peace? How can that be? Surely that's a contradiction in terms. That doesn't make sense at all. Peace is still. Peace is silent. Peace is like a swan gliding serenely and silently across a still lake. Well, yes, that's one type of peace, but that isn't the type of peace that's being talked about here. The type of peace being talked about here is a Greek word, eirene. The word eirene is all about unity, suggesting that this gospel of peace is about harmony in our relationships, whether between individuals, groups, or nations, and is born out of our wholeness, or the Hebrew word shalom, that our belief in the death and resurrection of Jesus brings. So this peace in this passage is not just for ourselves. It builds on the shalom of being brought back into harmonious relationship or peace with God through Jesus' death, so that we may live in harmony, in unity, in peace, working to create and maintain the unity, the peace that God longs for in ourselves, in our church, with our neighbours, with the whole earth and all of creation. Having peace, having unity with God, requires us to say, "You are Lord. May your will be done. Your way, not mine." Does that sound familiar from the Lord's Prayer? Your will be done. Words that invite us to seek God's way, not my way for myself, our family, our friends, our church, our world. Words that surrender what we want, what we would like or desire, so that God's will truly be done. But let's not deceive ourselves. There is one who seeks to disrupt this peace. The enemy, the devil, the accuser, through so many ways. Ways to dehumanise and to try and rob us and the world of this peace. You need only to listen to the news or read the news or chat with people in and out of church to learn of loneliness, illness, all sorts of circumstances, including abuse, poverty, crime, abuse of power, war and corruption. I'm sure you can add many others for yourself. And God's heart breaks for all of these. So what might happen if we were to boot up with God's peace? What might happen if we were to say to the Lord, with each person who crosses our path this week, whether we know them or not, let me share the peace you long for, whether in what we say or do, even just with a simple smile or a good morning, good afternoon, good evening. And as we move forward as a church in the future that God has for us after Ian and Helen retire, how will we ensure that unity is maintained and worked towards, that keeps his will in sight and honoured? It's a tall order for each and every one of us, you and me. But fortunately, we're not alone. Jesus calls each of us, you and me, to follow and gives us the help we need through his Spirit to have feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Let's spend a few moments now responding to those images, thoughts and feelings God has laid on our hearts today. Or if there isn't anything now, asking him to show you his peace so that we might all have feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace in our lives.